Please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Since the last time, I've had more scriptures and more insights, and I have a bit of an issue about whether I should go back and redo anything. Let me just do the best that I can to catch us up without taking the whole time up. Okay. All right. In Luke chapter 15, remember again, Jesus is relating a parable. What we call the prodigal son, it really shouldn't be called that, but let's just call it that. And he begins in verse 11 by saying, a man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now, instead of waiting until you die. Boy, I tell you, isn't that just rude? I'm reading from the New Living Translation, by the way. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. You know, I found a verse in Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 21, it says, an inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. That certainly was the case with this. We need to be careful, you know, that we don't rush into things. And, you know, we're very much a society, what we call an instant society. We want everything straight away. You know, McDonald's really played on that. Added to this in Proverbs 28 and verse 25, it said the greedy person stirs up strife. Now, we talked about this, what problems and what heartache would have caused the father when he did this. I mean, when you listen to what he says, you know, you really think, wow, that's really horrible. And you know that it would have caused strife, especially because we know when he comes back, his elder brother wants to have nothing to do with him. Obviously, there was a lot going on there, a lot of hurt. And again, Proverbs 28, 25 says, this is from the New Revised Standard Version, the greedy person stirs up strife, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be enriched. You know, so much of the time, we are in such a hurry to get to things, and I've found that it is more profitable, more blessed to rest, okay, to not be in a hurry, to trust in God. And I just think, you know, and I have nothing against credit cards, but I think it's one of those things that you really have to be careful how you use that thing. I have found that when God wants me to have something, I'll have the finances for it. Amen. And, you know, along came the credit card and took that away. We can now buy stuff when we don't have money. And then, you know, today there's all kinds of things going on. I even, you know, got a letter via email from a particular bank that said that they've changed their rules about credit cards and how, you know, they're not going to allow money to be spent that people don't have on gambling. But that's what happens. You know, it's sort of got to that stage where we want to spend what we don't have. And we so need to be careful because we, you know, patience doesn't seem to be a thing in our language anymore. That's something for somebody else. We, you know, and when you look at the business world, it's all about now. Everything is right now. And there is no waiting. There is no endurance. It's all gone, okay? And so we see that with this boy. And it says again, the younger son told his father, I want my share of the estate now instead of waiting until you die. And it's incredible. It says, so his father agreed. I'm back in Luke 15, 12. His father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Now, we also talked about the fact that the father divided his wealth between his sons. That was important, and it will be important when we get to the second son. Because the way, you know, I used to always think, like a lot of people do today, that only one son got his inheritance, the other one got nothing. Stayed home and worked and, you know, did all of this stuff. And then when this kid comes back, you know, it's like, what the? Okay? That's not the case. They both got the inheritance. And one of the other things that we'll learn about and I'll talk to you about is the fact that because that was the elder son that stayed behind, he would have got twice as much as the younger one. So there was, and that's significant as well, so there was no reason for him to behave the way he behaved when we get to that, okay? Let's move on. And it says now a few days later, I'm in verse 13, a few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and took a trip to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money on wild living. Jeez, in one sentence, Jesus just takes it from one end to the other. Jesus is a master storyteller, isn't he? I'll just take my hat off, man. This is God, okay? All right, and I remember again that I brought to your attention Isaiah 53:6 that said that all of us have strayed away like sheep. We have left God, this is in the New Living Translation, we have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet, the Lord laid on him, that is Jesus, the guilt and sin of us all. And we're going to see that in this parable, okay? In the way that the father welcomes the child back. Okay. Now, verse 14. Actually, you know, I also found a scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Can I share that with you too? Of course I'm going to share it with you. Okay, I've given you the reference now. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, this is from the New Living Translation. It says, people who long to be rich fall into temptation. Isn't this interesting? I thought this was very interesting in relation to what happened to this kid. All right, it says, people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Look at the way, you know, this relates to what was going on with this young boy. It says people who long to be rich, and you know, that's in society today. You know, what this boy did is no different to the way society is today. They all want to get rich quick. Amen. You know, we're all looking for, you know, the house and the car and the swimming pool and everything else and everything before we're 25. Because what do you want to do with the rest of your life? Retire? You won't. You'll get bored after about 5 minutes. No, seriously, you know, if you work so hard to get that much so quickly, you really be looking for something else to do. Work is a journey. It isn't a destiny. You know, we're not here to just kill ourselves, get somewhere, get the money we want, and then do nothing. We weren't designed for that. We were designed to do something. Now, I know some people, you know, and this is fair enough. Some people want to get the money they want so that they can do what they love. But it's still so that they can do something, not so they can do nothing. Amen? So we need to be real careful why we're after finances and so on and so forth. And, you know, I really admire people that do put the time in to get the finances they need to do what they love. And so they're not just, you know, existing anymore. They're living now. They're happy. You know, every morning they wake up with purpose. Amen. And I want that for all of you. All right. But notice again, it says people who long to be rich, and that's all they want to be, fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires. Remember, it said that he wasted all of his money on wild living. He, you know, was foolish. It's exactly what this says. And it says that plunged them into ruin and destruction. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what happened to this kid. So let's continue reading. He says, about the time his money ran out, in fact, the literal translation says, when he had spent everything he had, in fact, he had run out. Okay? And we know that to be true because of the rest of the parable. It doesn't make sense otherwise, okay? It says, when he had spent everything he had, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve and literally to be in need. So watch what's happened now. He has been wasteful. He has been unwise in the way that he used his money. He wanted all of it and he's used all of it now. And what happens? The money runs out and he runs into a famine. Okay. In Proverbs 11 and verse 28, it says, he who trusts in riches will fall. Sounds like this kid trusted in riches. He didn't trust in anything else. He just wanted his money. And I want you to notice there's no middle ground in what Proverbs says here. I don't want to go to the second half of the verse because the first half really describes what we want to talk about today. It says again, he who trusts in riches will fall. You know, it didn't say they might fall. It didn't say there's a good possibility they'll fall. Okay? Notice it's not the riches. It's the one that trusts in riches. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus says, this is Luke 12, 15, in the New King James Version, Jesus says, take heed and beware of covetousness. This is what drives people so much of the time today. It's covetousness. It's wanting things, having things, and holding on to things. There's nothing wrong with things. I've said this before. There's nothing wrong with you having things. The problem always is when things have you. That's covetousness. Are you all here? And you know, this is Jesus goes on to say there, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. This kid obviously felt that way. He obviously felt like that's what his life consisted of, in the things he had. And the more things he had, the happier he thought he would be. The problem with that is when you spend the way he spent and when you're careless the way he was careless, then it runs out and suddenly there goes your happiness. Amen? If that's what you're going to place your happiness on. You know, if that's why Jesus said you can't serve God and money. You'll love the one and hate the other. We must guard against that, the love of money. This is in 1 Timothy 6:10. Don't worry about the scripture because it says it's the root of all kinds of evil. All right. Now, verse 15. We got there. we haven't finished. So in verse 15, he said, so he persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed his pigs. This is, you know, in the New Revised Standard Version, Luke 15, 15, in the New Revised Standard Version says this, so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. So it wasn't something that, see, one version seems to indicate that he asked for the job. The other version tells us that he was told to go do that job. And we need to make sure that we get the right version on this because it wasn't something, a Jewish boy would never go do this. They would never voluntarily do this because there's a curse on this thing. And I'll tell you about that in just a minute. So I've said here again, it wasn't the young man's choice to feed the pigs. It was what he was forced to do, with William Hendrickson saying, a Jew feeding pigs, the worst sort of unclean animals. How degrading, how humiliating. Now, family, I want to draw a parallel here. This is what happens when you put yourself in the hands of a thief. When you take yourself out of the hand of God, you put yourself automatically in someone else's hand. There is no kind of free lunch. You know what I'm trying to say? Okay, you're either here or you're there. There's no neutral ground. People say, well, I don't want God, I don't want religion. Well, you know what? You just got the other side. If you don't want God, now, no, we don't want religion either, okay? Sad that they put the two together. Because, sadly, religion seems to go against God a lot of times, you know? But anyway, you know, but people say, well, I don't want anything to do with God. You know, I want to live my life. Sweetheart, as soon as you say you don't want to have anything to do with God, what you are doing is saying that I'm going to allow myself to be forced by whatever darkness there is out there, which has power to run my life. That's all you're saying. And that thing doesn't care about you. Jesus said in John 10:10, we know this scripture. He said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what he doesn't come to, you know, make life better for you. He will lie to you. Whatever he gives, he'll take back more than he gives. Do you know the kingdom of darkness operates basically opposite? I'd like to say exactly opposite to the kingdom of light. Okay? With God, whatever you sow, you reap a hundredfold. Peter asked the question, Jesus said, you're going to get now, in this time, a hundredfold. Lands and houses and all that good stuff. Okay? So there is a multiplied return when, and Proverbs tells us that as well. You know, it says there's something really funny that goes on. The person that gives seems to increase more. It's the way God works. And the one that withholds more, I think it's Proverbs 11:24, withholds more than what is necessary tends to poverty. Goes the other way. Which seems counter intuitive, you know, the more you hang on to, you think the more you get to keep, but you know what? There is a spirit that is going on. There is something, let me rephrase it. God, five thoughts went through my head. Let me pick one. There is a law that says whatever you sow, you'll reap. There is a spirit that is watching over all of this. And one works for the kingdom of darkness, the other for light. And each one makes sure that depending on which kingdom you are, that you reap that benefit or that curse. It's there. Like I said, it was a lot of thoughts. Okay, all right. That's pretty much, yeah, there's a few more, but that'll do. I think you get the point. And so, you know, what we find is that when you put yourself in the kingdom of darkness, then you put yourselves in the hands of the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. It will steal everything that you have. And so the more that you try to hang on to things, the more things will go wrong. I think it's amazing how people go, well, I don't want to give, or I don't want to do this. And then suddenly things break down. People come and rob their house or whatever. And different things happen. I'm not thinking about anybody. If you're thinking, I'm thinking of you, I'm not. Okay, I'm not. Because I know people go, oh, they're talking about me. I'm not. Okay, but this is what Jesus said would happen. That thieves would come and steal. You hang on to stuff. You put yourself in this place where the enemy will come and steal everything from you. He will kill off all your dreams. And he'll try to destroy your life. And Jesus said, I've come to do the exact opposite. I have come to give you life. And I, you know, that would have been enough. But he didn't stop there. He said, life more abundantly. A full life. Hence the church. Okay? And what we're trying to get you to as well. Hallelujah. All right. But sadly, this young man's life was heading down the road of destruction. Every step that he took was being ordered by the devil. See, this is what you need to understand. When you're in God's house, every step is ordered by God. When you're in the kingdom of darkness, your steps are still being ordered, but no longer by God. Did you hear me? The Jews had a saying that went something like this. May a curse come upon the man who cares for swine. I want you to think about this. This boy is feeding pigs with that on his mind. He realizes and begins to realize, in fact, that everything that he has done in running away from his home, getting away from his father who loved him, putting himself in the hands of people that don't care about him, in doing all of this now, he has literally entered into an area of his life that is now cursed. You know, we don't understand that the blessing on our life, the importance of that blessing, the blessing of Abraham should come upon us, the Gentiles, through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, Abe had everything. You know, you want the blessing of Abraham because it's everything. God said to Abraham, if they bless you, I'll bless them. If they curse you, they're in trouble. Okay, that's the loose Roche translation. But you know what I'm trying to say? That's the reason why, you know, I feel sorry for people that treat those that are in good relationship with God. I worry about people who treat them badly. Because the blessing of Abraham is on you. And it's a two-edged sword. It will bless those who bless you. And if it, and you know, if they don't do right by you, they get into trouble. And I'm just going to leave it at that. You know, all God has to do is lift his hand on something. He doesn't have to do anything bad. Bad is waiting to get in. Have you noticed at night, if you turn a light off, it doesn't go gray? Okay? The dark rushes in. And that's exactly what happens when you walk away from the light. The dark rushes in. Okay. So, you know, this kid would have known about this. And he would have been feeding those pigs in fear. And there would have been the fear and the dread of even more misfortune befalling him. Really need to get this, because he's thinking, boy, things are already bad. Now I'm doing something that is cursed, and all I can expect is more bad. Okay. I've said here what a sad, embarrassing, and miserable life this boy was living. But not only that, it goes on to say in verse 16, the boy became so hungry that even the pods, verse 16 from the New Living Translation of Luke 15, it says again, the boy became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. Now, there are several things here we need to pick out. You might say, you got to be kidding. No. Okay. Each of these verses, remember, a master storyteller is telling a parable.
Yes. That's right.
It's layered, and we need to catch all the layers. Amen?
Amen.
First, it's obvious that the boy was not a part of the household, okay? And therefore not given enough to eat. And so here, unlike at home, even the pigs were more valuable than he was. Please get a hold of this. Draw parallels. In the devil's kingdom, you are lower than a pig. I'm just telling you. Second, it's obvious that whatever wages he would have earned would not have been enough to buy food in this time of famine. Remember, it's a time of famine. You all know COVID? You all know how the prices went up? And we couldn't even find food? You know, and certain things? So I really need you to, we all can relate to this, I think. So, you know, you can understand that regardless of what he's getting paid, it wouldn't have been enough to buy food in this time, because it would have been so expensive. It wouldn't have been enough. Can I just say this? Even if you had all the money, you still wouldn't have been able to get enough to feed your family. So why would you feed anybody outside your family when you're struggling to feed your own? Are you all with me? Okay. That's why it says no one gave him anything. Because they couldn't afford to. Amen? There just wasn't enough. And so he became more and more hungry as the days rolled on, to where Jesus says, even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. Even though he wouldn't dare to eat it, because it's virtually indigestible for humans. You'd die if you ate that. Are you all with me? Amen? Just like I think if you're out on a raft, you know, your ship sunk, the last thing you want to do is drink salt water. Yeah. It will kill you. You know what I'm trying to say? So this is where the kid is. All right. Now, I'm sure Jesus' audience would have been transfixed. You know, he's telling the story. And you know, when somebody tells you a story, I know as a kid, when somebody's telling you a story, I was like, oh, what do you do next? What do you do next? Okay. And there was this person that used to come, and I think he was a tutor to one of my friends. And so he would come, and every week he would tell us a different story. And we'd all be waiting for him to finish, you know, tutoring this kid so that we could all sit down all in a little row and listen to another story. And Jesus' stories are better, okay? All right. And so Jesus goes on to say, verses 17 through 19, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home. Now, in the literal text, it's important we get a hold of this. It says, in my father's house. It didn't just say at home. Are you all here? It says, it actually said, in my father's house, even the hired men have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I think this is really interesting. All right. Verse 18. We'll talk about this all in a minute. He says, I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven. Now that's a reference to God. It says, I have sinned against both heaven, that is God, and you. Verse 19, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired man or a hired servant, the literal text says. So I want you to notice now, it's obvious that all the nights of being hungry and just not having enough, what would happen? This is brilliant. What normally happens? Your mind always wanders off to a better time. It always goes to a place where things were good and things were happy. And I can just imagine this kid, and I'm sure Jesus' audience is imagining this as well, that the kid had everything. And they're thinking to themselves, we have had everything. You know, a lot of the people that Jesus was talking to would have been in a situation where they would have walked away from God. And then they're coming to see what this religious man has to say. And then he begins telling the story and they're like, okay, Jesus speaks to his audience. He doesn't just get up and get a little sermon and preach to people. He reads people's hearts. The Bible tells us that he knew all men. He knew what was going on in the inside of them. And I'm sure, I will bet money on this, that he would have known the kind of people that were there. And they're all kind of thinking, well, you know, tell me something. Let's see if you can, you know, do something religious. Say something religious. And he starts to tell this story. And they're freaking out because he's pulling their card. He did this with the Pharisees all the time. In fact, he is ministering to two groups right now. The first group are all those people that are in his group, that are there in his audience, that have walked away from God. The second group are all the Pharisees, them self-righteous dudes. He's going to get to them in a minute. Okay? All right. So I've said here that this young man has had plenty of time to reflect on what he had done and the way that he had done it and how much pain and damage he would have caused his family and especially his father, and why he decides to say to his father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. Now, what's interesting to note here is that the boy does not, listen, the boy does not express any sorrow for what he had lost. This is really interesting because a lot of people sort of look at, this is a parable, okay? You have to be careful how much you read into things. All right, some people were sort of saying, oh no, this kid wasn't really genuine in his repentance. Jesus is telling the story, let him tell the story. Don't go reading stuff into it, okay? Jesus is saying that this kid is showing that he's no longer regretting what he has lost. He's regretting what he has done. He wants to go back and say, I've sinned against you. Not I've lost all my money, can you give me some more? Are you getting this? It's so important that we get a hold of this. He had sinned. And this was nothing less than a sincere, heartfelt repentance for what he had done. It's also important to note here that from what the boy says, Jesus was letting us know, listen, this is so important, that in this parable, there was obviously nothing wrong with either his father or his life at home. Do you understand? That's why the boy says, I've sinned against you, because, you know, sometimes a home life, you know, today, we hear about abuse and all sorts of things that are going on. And some people just want to get away because they don't want to be in that situation anymore. And then you can understand if kids, you know, run away and do stuff like that because of that. And we need to be aware of that and understand that. But that's why I want to make this point, that there was nothing wrong with his life at home. It was a happy life. It was a good life. This kid just got greedy. He got antsy, you know, antsy, okay? He wanted to go do his thing and get away from all that was good. And he didn't even, and see, this is what happens a lot of times, is people don't realize what they have until they don't have it anymore. Amen. Leon Morris points out, he had failed to honor his parents according to the commandment. He recognized that he had forfeited all claim to be treated as a son, and he looked only for the possibility of being made like one of the paid servants. That is, he would ask for a job. At least then he would get a living wage in congenial surroundings. I've run out of time. I want to leave this next part because there is so much in verse 20. Let me read it to you and then we'll conclude for today. Okay? It says, so he returned home. He goes, oh, come on. No, we'll get to it. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, I'm reading in Luke 15:20 from the New Living Translation. It says, filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. There is significance in everything that's being said here. And to really understand the love of God, we need to look at this really closely now. I needed to show you everything that took place before this so that you can understand how powerful this is, what Jesus is actually conveying to us here. Because if you don't understand the depth of depravity and embarrassment and everything else that this kid calls a father, you won't understand this. And the devil will lie to you about God not loving you, about you have strayed too far, you just crossed that line. He didn't want anything to do with you. You know, the devil draws lines. God draws circles. You try to draw a line, he keeps going around. And he says, come back in, come back in. It's okay. Amen. And we're going to see that next time. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you today for your word. And Father, we thank you for the insights that we're receiving. This is a very powerful parable. Father, we need to understand this in order to understand your unconditional love toward us and your forgiveness and your desire to have us come home. No matter where we wander off to, no matter how far we stray, no matter how many things we do that have hurt you, you still love us. So much so that as we just turn around and start to make our way back to you, you're running. You're not walking, you're running toward us. Hallelujah. When we should be running toward you. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.